Thanks for joining us for this message from Awaken Church. We believe in the power of God's Word, and we pray that you're encouraged by this message. Now lean in as we hear from God's Word together.
Proverbs 15 is where we're going to be today. Long before there was text messaging or the internet to communicate with one another around the world or even in our country, in the early 1900s, the way people primarily communicated was through the telegraph. And you know what the telegraph is, right? It's the thing that goes beep, 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 right? It's that thing. And so long before we had all the cool technology to communicate around our world or within our country, the way people did that was through, the way they communicated was through the telegraph. Well, this week I read a story about a lady who was touring Europe in the early 1900s, and she came across a bracelet that cost $75,000. Now, that's a lot of money now, but that was a whole lot of money back then. Like, I can think of a lot better ways to spend $75,000 than buy a bracelet. But this is what she saw, and this is what she wanted. And so she wanted this bracelet, and so she texts, or not texts, see, listen to me. She telegraphs her husband and says the price of it and tells him that she wants it. And so the husband receives the telegraph, and he saw how much it was, and he replies very quickly with a message, a response to it. And he said, his reply back to his wife said, "No, comma, price too high." Well, the telegraph operator made a mistake. He missed one small detail in that transmission, and it was the signal after the word no. So when the wife received the telegraph back, the way that it read was, "No price too high." That's how she got it. And so she was excited about the news, and she bought the bracelet. And when she got home, her husband saw it, and he was not too thrilled or too excited that she bought the bracelet. In fact, he ended up suing the telegraph company, and he won. And from that point on, telegraph rules required operators to not give a signal for a punctuation, but to spell out the punctuation. Now, here's the point to that illustration. I think that really helps us understand that words matter. The way we say things, the way our tone, the punctuation, all those things, our words matter. Our words are powerful. And not only do our words stick with us, they lead to movements. They evoke emotions and memories. They can even shape history. This week as I was studying, I was reminded of how history has been shaped by the good and evil in this world. You have someone like Adolf Hitler, whose words were evil, terrible, led to death and destruction. In fact, I read this week that for every word in his book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died. But then you contrast that with somebody like Billy Graham. Billy Graham preached the gospel, told people the good news about Jesus, and that shaped generations. That shaped people. That led to a movement. Millions and millions of people, their eternity was forever changed by the good news of Jesus. My dad listened to a message by Billy Graham and gave his life to the Lord. And I can't help but think that I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his faithfulness. Words have the power to shape history. And just for a moment, I want you to think of some impactful words that have been spoken to you. Even right now, I know you're probably thinking of the person. You can probably close your eyes and see the person's face and even remember the words. Maybe they were the words of hope, words of encouragement. Maybe they're the words of, "You're doing great," or "I see this in you," or "God is working and moving through you in this way." Those words were encouraging. But more often than not, I think what we do is we immediately think of the hurtful or harmful words that have been spoken to us or words that we've said to other people. Growing up, you probably heard the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That phrase is really simple, that there are things that can break a word, that can break a bone, but words are not as powerful as breaking a bone. And if you've ever broken a bone before, you know it is extremely painful. So we know that that sentence is just not true. Words hurt. Words may not leave outward scars like a stone might, but we've all experienced the bitter sting of a careless or cruel word. Now, the reason why I think we say that phrase is because we want to make ourselves feel better. We don't want people to think that what they said to us or about us had any kind of effect on us, hurt us in any kind of way. But deep, deep down inside, in the quiet moments of our lives, we know that words are incredibly powerful. See, broken bones will heal, but the words that have been said to you, or even the words that you said to other people, still exists and are even deep wounds today. Proverbs 12:18 even says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The word reckless in Proverbs 12 here means thoughtlessly, flippantly, or speaking without thinking. So here's what Proverbs 12 is trying to help us understand, that when we speak and we don't think about what we're saying, we just say whatever comes to mind, it's like thrust from a sword. You can picture it. It's like if you were to walk through a crowd and you would just swing the sword however you want to, and whoever it hits, whoever it cuts, who cares? They shouldn't have been in the way. No matter how wounded they are, you don't really care. See, a sword will only take a moment to pierce someone, but the damage it causes can last long after the blade is gone. And the same is true with our words. Our words can leave our mouth in a moment of anger, but what they do is they create, well, the wounds they create can stay with us forever. That's why we need to be careful with our words. Some of the most painful moments in your life have come from what someone has said. And even now, as I'm saying that, you're thinking of somebody. You know the words. You're reminded of those words and what they said to you, or about the way you looked, or about how you dress, or about you in general. And you can think back in that moment, and it lives rent-free in your head. You replay that moment over and over and over again in your mind. See, most of your life, you probably won't remember. I don't remember what happened last week. I don't remember what happened last year or 10 years ago. I don't quite really remember what I had for dinner the other night, okay? You won't remember a lot, but the words that have been spoken to you, you remember as if it was yesterday. Words are powerful, and sometimes it seems like we can't control them, which is why Proverbs is so helpful for us. In fact, 150 times, Proverbs talks about our lips, our tongue, our words, our speech. So clearly, words are important. And one of the goals of Proverbs is to help us know and understand the power of our words and how we use our words when we talk to one another. Proverbs has some wisdom when it comes to that little thing that sits between your teeth. Our tongue can cause a lot of problems, or it can bring life depending on how we use it. In fact, Proverbs 18 even says, "Death and life are found in the power of the tongue." So if we want to be wise when it comes to our words this summer, and if we want to be wise when it comes to our words our entire life, then we need to hear what Proverbs has to say about our tongue. If you like to take notes, the title of today's message is The Power Between Your Teeth. The Power Between Your Teeth. Pick up with me Proverbs 15, starting in verse 1. It says this: "Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Three things that I want you to see in Proverbs 15 when it comes to our tongue, our speech, our words. Three things, and the first is this: what we speak matters. What we speak matters. This week I read that the average person will open up their mouth 700 times in a day. And in those 700 times, there's varying statistics on this. Some say men speak anywhere from 7,000 to 15,000 words. Others say that women speak anywhere from 15,000 to 25,000 words every single day. But the article said, on average, a person will speak 16,000 words a day. And what it went on to say is that only about 500 to 1,000 of those words have any kind of real substance to them. So here's the point. We blab a whole lot and none of it really matters, okay? But even more so, the point is what we say matters. What we say has weight, and we need to be careful with what we say. If you're a teacher here today, your words have weight. Yeah, you might teach from a textbook, but you help mold and shape the next generation. You give life lessons, even in that classroom. Your words have weight to them. As a pastor, I know that my words have weight. Even this weekend, I'll speak anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 words just in the three services alone. That's a lot of words. In counseling, I'll speak. So the point is, there's a lot of opportunity for me to potentially trip over my words. There was weight in the words when I asked Jen to marry me. I was trying to wax poetic and be all inspirational and everything, but I think after 10 minutes, she was like, "Get up, Nate. I already said yes. Like, let's move on with this kind of thing, you know?" But there's weight to our words. There's weight in the words that we just sung. There's weight when we open up God's word and we allow Proverbs to often read us. Not we read Proverbs, but Proverbs reads us. God's word reads us. There's weight if you are in the community. There's weight in the words that you say. If you're a police officer, if you're in the military, if you're in healthcare, you're a lawyer, there's weight in those words. If you're a parent here today, there is weight to the words that you speak when you speak to your child. There's weight. Even if you're in the neighborhood and you're just talking to your neighbors, there's weight in those words. There is power. There is weight to everything we say. When we open up our mouths 700 times a day, there is power in our words. What we say matters. In fact, look again. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We see two ways to speak, a gentle way and a harsh way. Now, don't get it twisted. Sometimes we have to say a hard truth. We have to say something. But even in those hard truths, we need to do what the Bible says. And it says, speak the truth in love. It doesn't say speak the truth in a demeaning way. Don't speak the truth where you condemn somebody. Don't speak the truth in a way that you win the battle, you win the argument, you come out to be proven you're right. No, it says speak the truth in love. When we have harsh truths to share, we need to do it in love. We need to do it in a gentle way. This week, I was thinking about my almost 2 decades in ministry, and I thought, one, I'm getting old, but two, I'm thinking about all the mistakes that I made as I was reading this verse one. And I thought, man, I didn't live up to this verse. There were times that I didn't speak in a gentle way or a gentle tone. Times when I was just like, I got to prove that I'm right in this. Whether I was right or whether I was wrong, man, I think back on that and I go, man, I created wounds. I said things to people. My words were like a sword in the midst of a crowd. I didn't really care who I hurt. People left the church. People had bad things to say about me. And I look back and I just go, man, none of that was good. I didn't listen to this proverb. But Proverbs contrasts two types of speech, gentle speech and harsh speech. See, harsh words, harsh tones, what they do is they stir up anger. But gentle words, gentle tones, gentle responses are like water on the fire of conflict. It'll drench whatever fight or whatever disagreement you're in. James even talks a lot about our words. In fact, James, one of his subjects in Proverbs is about our words. But in James chapter 3, he compares our words to that of fire. And the point that's being made is that just as a single match can burn a forest to the ground, the same is true when it comes to the destructive nature of our words. And James points out that we have to, that if we just let our words run wild, then just like a forest can be burned down to the ground by fire, we can burn people, burn relationships to the ground by the words that come out of our mouth. And here's the thing about fire and words. With control, it brings great warmth and light. It can even bring great comfort. I walked into the lobby and the doors are wide open and I just felt the grossness of summer. Anybody with me on that? Like, these next 3 months are going to be some of the most miserable months in my life. They're going to drag on. And all summer long, all I'm going to do is I'm going to long for fall. Anybody with me on that? You know, you get that crisp weather, you know, it cools down and, you know, you could see the leaves start to change. College football is back on, you know, it's just, there's something about the fall time that you're just like, I love it, you know? And what I love is that you get a fire in the fireplace or a fire in the fire pit. And it's just that fire brings great warmth, brings great comfort, brings great life, you know? And that's one of my favorite things about fall is that fire. It's awesome. While it's controlled, it's awesome. When it's in that fireplace, when it's in that fire pit. But the moment you take that fire out of the fireplace and you put it in the living room, it's not so much fun anymore, is it? If you were to dump that fire pit over into the yard and then your yard lights up like a Christmas tree, you're like, that is not a good time. It's chaos. It's destruction. And the same is true when it comes to our words. Our words bring great light, bring great warmth. But without control, it just burns things to the ground. And we all know this to be true. We've seen it in our relationships. You've probably seen your relationships grow stronger as you speak life into the other person and into that relationship. But you could probably think back and seen the destructive power that your tongue has in relationships. Some of you can look back on your marriage and see that your marriage is being burned to the ground, not because you didn't put the toilet seat down, not because you didn't do enough chores or take out the trash or pick up your clothes. It was because of the words you said in the moment of anger. And that's true in your marriage. It's true in your friendships. It's true with your kids. Everything can be burned to the ground in a moment of anger in the words that we say. Maybe for you, it's a word spoken to you by a parent, an employer, teacher, classmate. You heard those words, and what you did is you started to repeat those words to yourself, and you began to believe those words. All of us, to some degree, are burn victims of another person's words. But some of us are also responsible for creating burn victims. And what James, what Proverbs, what the entire Bible is trying to remind us of is that you carry something that has tremendous power. You can bring damage or you can bring life. Now, one of the examples that we see is in Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Solomon, if you know, he's known for his wisdom. He's written most of the Proverbs, but he wasn't perfect in his wisdom. And one of the ways that he messed up was he placed a heavy burden on his people for his wealth, his building projects, his luxurious lifestyle. Solomon wasn't wise in that way. Well, Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam comes, and he becomes the next king. And the people saw this as an opportunity for change. And so they go to Rehoboam, and they say, "Your dad put this heavy burden, this heavy yoke on us. Would you just release that burden? Would you lighten the load, and we will serve you forever?" Now, Rehoboam's response is a perfect example of the warning found in Proverbs 15:1. I thought this week, man, if Rehoboam only listened to his dad, it would have saved him a whole lot of trouble. Because what Rehoboam does is he brings the older counselors together, the people who advised his dad, and he brought them together. He's like, "What should I do with this request? They want me to lighten the load. What should I do?" And the older counselors, they said, "Well, you need to speak kindly, speak graciously to them." But then he turned to the younger advisors, people he grew up with, and he's like, "What do I do with this request to lighten the burden, to lighten the load of the people? What should I do?" And they looked at him and they said, "Make it even harder." Instead of giving a gentle answer that would calm the situation, win the loyalty of the people, Rehoboam responded harshly and he stirred up anger. And because of his response, because he made it heavier, there was a rebellion and a division in the kingdom. Now, what do you think might have kept him from giving a soft answer? I think it's his pride. He was the king. No one's going to tell the king what to do. He didn't want to appear weak or give in to the demands of others. But just think for a minute, what would have happened if he would have listened to the older counselors? They probably would have respected him for hearing them, probably would have continued to serve him gladly. Here's the point. The person who speaks harshly often thinks that he's asserting his authority or proving his strength, when in reality, he's just doing the opposite, stirring up unnecessary anger, creating conflict that could have been avoided if he would have just given a gentle answer. So where is it in your life that you need to practice having a soft answer? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your parenting? Is it with a roommate, a friend, coworker, someone in the church? Where do you need to practice having a soft answer? Like what Proverbs 10 says. It says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." I love this picture that Proverbs is giving, because in ancient times, a fountain, or your translation might even say a well, would be a place of public refreshment. It's where the community would get together and they would be refreshed together by water. And so this fountain, this well, had a great impact on hundreds of people. So does your tongue, does your words bring refreshment to people? Where is it in your life that you need to give a soft answer? So what we speak matters, but here's the second thing. How we speak matters. Proverbs 15, look at verse 2. "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly." That just means that the fool doesn't have any guardrails. Everything's just let down, says what he wants to say. Just let it flow. Look at verse 4. It says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." And then look further down to verse 28 of chapter 15. It says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." What do all three of these verses have in common? They all speak to the attitude of our words. Listen, you could say all the right things, even be right in what you are saying, but you can say it in the wrong way. You could speak truth, but do it in anger. You can offer correction, but do it in pride. You can be right in everything that you have to say, but wrong in how you say it. And the reason why how we speak matters is because our words reveal what's going on inside of us. Jesus even said in Luke 6:45, he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Our words are not just random sounds that come out of our mouths. They're a reflection of what's really going on inside our hearts. So if we want to change our words, we need to allow God to change our hearts. Because a transformed heart produces transformed speech. How we speak matters. Now, if I could be transparent with all of you for just a second, which I always am, so I don't even really know why I'm asking, but I'm going to be transparent with you all. Because this area, as we talk about words, as we talk about speech, as we talk about the tongue, this is not something I have mastered in my own life. It's not like I'm up here saying, now watch me as I've mastered all these things in my life. I've got it all figured out. It's not the case. A lot of what today is reminders that I have to have in my own life. Reminders of where I've become weak, areas where I need those guardrails back up in my life again to remind myself how I need to speak. And so I hope by God's grace, God illuminates, shows you something in your life and how you can apply this to you. But this isn't something I've mastered in my own life. You'll hear me. I've often said this before. I'll tell you that I'm Russian, German, and Irish. So I got all the angry people living up inside of here, you know? Like if anybody's got the right to be mad, say it like it is, be ticked off at the world, it's me. Like I have all the excuses in the world. I'm like, it's just who I am. But these are all things that I'm learning and that God is showing me and things that God is illuminating to me. But I'm also glad that God saw it fit to give me a wife like Jen. She is what Proverbs 31 says, a virtuous and capable wife, more precious than rubies. Because here's the point. Sometimes I'll come home or we'll be talking, and we'll be talking about something. It could be something with the church. It could be something with the family. It could be something going on in our world. And I'll be like, what they need to hear is this. What we need to say is this. And I'll get all fired up and on my own soapbox and start saying all the things. And she'll look at me and what she'll say, Nate, what you're saying might be right. What you're saying is true. And maybe to some degree, somebody needs to hear what you need to say with that. But how you're saying it and how you're going to go about it is completely wrong. Now, sometimes I'm like, your name is Jen, not the Holy Spirit, so zip it, you know, like. And I think we all do that to some degree, right? Because we don't like that our words can be a mirror reflecting of what's going on in our hearts. Growing up, your parents probably told you this when you said something. Watch your mouth. Watch your words. You say something, watch your mouth. Well, Jesus takes this step further. He says, don't just watch your mouth, watch what's in your heart. Because your mouth speaks what your heart is full of. So when we speak angry words, it's because there's anger in our heart. We speak bitter words, it's because there's bitterness towards another person in our heart. And when we speak a reckless word, it's because our heart lacks self-control. See, this is the one muscle in your mouth. This muscle is more powerful than all the other muscles in your body combined. You may have a lot of muscles in your body. And trust me, I know something about this. Look at me, right? Like you may have a lot of muscles. You may not have any muscles at all. But the tongue muscle is the one you've got to learn how to control. And what's funny to me is it's the one muscle that never gets sore. Other muscles get sore. You work them out and you're like, oh, I'm sore. You use it, or maybe you did it the wrong way, and it's the one muscle that gets sore. This is the one muscle that never gets sore. You never hear anybody stretching it out before they talk. So, like, they wake up in the morning, like, all right, I got to do my tongue stretches, left, right, up, down. You know, you don't hear anybody doing any of that. I was just talking to somebody this last week. My back has been a little sore, and he was telling me, he was like, Nate, you got to do stretches. I wish 10 years ago I would have been doing stretches, but I'm telling you now, you've got to do some stretches. You got to do it every single morning. But we don't do that with our tongue, do we? And it never gets sore. And you never hear anybody pulling their tongue muscle. They're like, oh, I can't talk for the next 6 to 8 weeks. I'm out, you know, like it never happens. See, it's amazing that the human tongue weighs less than 3 ounces, but its size to impact ratio is huge. Again, I don't want to just show you in Proverbs. I want to take you to the New Testament. I love as much as I can to show you Old Testament, New Testament, how the Bible is cohesive, how it works together. Because James talks a lot about this. In fact, James gives 2 illustrations in James chapter 3 that show us how we speak matters just as much as what we say. Look at it. James 3, verse 3, it says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so they can obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet boasts of great things. So real quickly, he gives 2 illustrations. He compares our tongue to a horse bit. When we put these small things in the mouth of these big horses, We can turn the body of this animal and make them obey us and direct them where we want them to go. So the idea here is, look at the horse. They're strong, they're fast, they're powerful, good at what they do. And man has figured out a way to tame them and use them to do good things with a bit in its mouth. What do we need to do to control our words and how we speak? Then he goes, in case you're rural and didn't grow up on a farm with horses, he's like, you've probably seen a ship. Those things are large, driven by strong winds, but they're steered by this very small rudder in the back. Again, James's point in these illustrations is to say that small things have the ability and the power to steer and direct things where we want them to go. That's why in verse 5 he says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet boasts of great things. This tongue, our tongue, can direct us and direct others, sets the course for people's life. And every single one of us has seen this. We have the capacity to bring great healing or great harm, to bring life or to bring death. We've seen our tongue be credited for either one of those. Again, Proverbs 18 says, the tongue has the power to bring life or to bring death. Even now, I bet you are thinking of people who have spoken life to you and people who have spoken death to you. And you can remember those words and how they impacted you negatively and positively. But you've also said things to someone that impacted them greatly, set the course for their life. Either set the course for their life in a positive way or it set the course for their life in a negative way. There is great power in the tongue to direct your life and others' life. And listen, we need to learn to keep it in check. Just as a bit, just as a rudder can guide those massive big things, our tongue can direct our life and direct others as well. And so Proverbs wants us to understand that the tongue, it's hard to control, but how we speak matters. And you know, Proverbs talks about different forms of speech. In fact, there are more Proverbs on how we speak than there is on sex, money, or work. Proverbs talks a lot about lying, gossiping, slandering, anger. Again, it's not just in Proverbs, but all of God's word commands us not to talk in those ways. And listen, if you find yourself today doing any one of those things, you're gossiping, you're slandering, you're lying, you're talking behind people, whatever you want to say, whatever you're doing, if you're doing any one of those things, you need to stop. We need to know when to speak up and when to remain silent. In fact, there's a lot of Proverbs that talk about when to remain silent. And at least for me, maybe for you, those ones aren't often underlined or highlighted in our Bibles. We don't like those ones. We don't want to be silent. We want to speak up. Proverbs 17 even says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. How great is that? Next time there's an argument, there's a fight going on, just sit back, maybe even stroke your chin. If you got a beard, maybe that's even better. You know, you seem so wise. They're like, oh, he's so intelligent. He's so wise. What God do you worship? We must worship him too. Like you're just a wise person. Like we got to know this stuff. But think about that. Try to know when to speak up and when to remain silent. Paul in Colossians 4:6, he even says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So here's the point. You not only need to ask God for the right words to say, but you need to ask God for the right words. What you might say might be right. It might be true. But if your attitude is wrong, it will be lost in translation. When it comes to the words that we say, they come through the tongue, but ultimately it all comes from the heart. And here's something else to think about. This one's for free, okay? You can't worship God as treasure and talk about people like they're trash. It doesn't work that way. Every single person you've met, no matter where they live, how much they make, what they look like, whether they're young, old, single, married, all people are made in the image of God. So anytime you say something bad about them or to them, you're offending the maker that they're made in, the image of the maker that they're in. Especially for Christians. Anytime you start talking bad about someone or to someone, you're offending the maker in whose image they're made in. Well, they don't know it. They don't get it. They said this. Listen, they are made. Jesus died for them and loved them just as much as Jesus died for you and loved you. We don't need to belittle somebody because I'm right and one day they'll get onto my level. No. Don't talk bad about them, to them, about them. Because we're all made in the image of God. What's coming out of a person tells you what's going on inside. So how we speak matters. But that leads us to the third and final thing, and that's when we speak matters. When we speak matters. Look at the first part of Proverbs 15:4. It says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Skip down to verse 23 of chapter 15. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, but a word in season, how good it is. How good is a timely word? It's good, right? Even if it's a hard word, it's a good thing. Like I know right now, as we're talking about Proverbs, as we're talking about our speech, our tongue, our words, it's a hard word, isn't it? Makes us a little uncomfortable. And I don't necessarily feel bad for you all. I had to sit in this for 25 hours. You have to sit in it for 40 minutes. So that's, you know, I've had to sit in a lot longer. But it's a hard word. But it's a good word. It's a timely word. We need these reminders. I needed these reminders this week. You need these reminders as well. How good is a timely word? This week, I was even reminded of timely words in my own life. Words that people have said to me. Maybe I'm going through a season of life that's difficult or I'm struggling in a certain area. And somebody will just come up to me and they'll say, you know, the Lord just told me to bring some encouragement to you. And I just want to encourage you today. And it's like, oh, that's good. Or I have a stack of cards that people have written me over the years, or emails or text messages that I just have. I have a stack of them just to remind myself. They're like, man, this is what the Lord is doing, or this is what the Lord is showing me, or talking about how a message spoke to them or grew them in a certain way. And I hold on to those things because how good is a timely word? Now, I've often had other people come up to me and say, well, I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to get a big head. Like they're trying to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And so sometimes they'll go, well, I want to encourage you, but don't get a big head here. And it's like, man, sometimes I feel like a chicken with my head cut off. Like sometimes I just need some encouragement and they'll encourage me. So here's the point in all this. I'm not saying, hey, later today, tell me how good I am because I need you to feel bad for me. That's not it at all. Here's the homework. Here's what I want you to do. Be an encouragement to somebody this week. Give somebody a timely word. Instead of just scrolling through Instagram for 15 minutes, why don't you just pray? Ask the Lord to reveal somebody to you that you can bring a timely word to, bring some encouragement to. Encourage them with a verse in the Bible. Set a reminder on your phone every week to do that. Be somebody who's known to give a timely word, a word of encouragement. Bring life-giving words to somebody in your life today. And if you need help with this, maybe what you need to do is you just need to tell your kids that you're proud of them. That you love them. Kids, maybe you need to look at your parents and say, thanks for the food. You know, thanks for the electricity, the Wi-Fi. It's so great, you know? Maybe wives, husbands, you need to tell your spouse for the first time and maybe a long time or another time for the 10,000th time that you love them. But don't just leave it, I love you. I love you because. Maybe you just need to give a timely word to a roommate, a friend. Breathe life and health back into that relationship. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the setting of silver. What that means is it's like somebody says something to you and it's like, ah, that's good. So here's my question to you. Would those closest to you say that your words are a tree of life or are they not? Do you bring life? Are your words life-giving or are they not at all? For me, if I'm being honest with you, nothing shows my need for grace more than my words. Second question, when was the last time you encouraged somebody? Be an encouragement to somebody this week. So when we speak things is just as important as what we say or how we say it. Now, after hearing all of this, you might be like, well, Nate, I'm never talking again. Like from this point on, zip it, button it, whatever you want to say. Like I'm done talking. I'm never going to speak again. And your spouse might say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We needed this message. But that's not the point. That's not what you should do. In fact, let me close with Proverbs 15:3. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Now you might be like, Nate, that still doesn't help. Like I'm still sure, I'm not going to talk ever again. But hold on a second. Because here's what this verse is reminding us. That anytime I say, anytime we say things that are good or bad, it's not hidden from God. And this reminds us that anything we do doesn't catch God by surprise. Whether it's the things we say, whether it's the season of life we're in, or the fact that we sinned again with our words. It doesn't catch God by surprise because he sees it all and he knows it all. So when we think about God watching us, you might think, well, this is a terrifying thing, but it all depends. Because if you're rebelling against the Lord, then the thought of him constantly watching us, that can be frightening. But if our hearts are right with him, then this verse is an incredible comfort. God never loses track of us, never takes his loving attention from us, not even for a moment. God is watching us, but he loves us so much that he can't take his eyes off of us. Listen, we might lose sight of God from time to time, but he never loses sight on us. And so this week, instead of being scared to speak, surrender your words to the Holy Spirit. And maybe what you need to do is tomorrow morning, you just need to, before you do anything, you need to just say, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender my words to you today. Make my words a fountain of life. And then in the morning, when you're trying to get everybody out of the house, or you're trying to do your things and a reckless word's about to come out, go and surrender again, you know? And then at lunchtime, you need to go and you need to surrender it again. And when you need to, when you're ready to just let everybody have it at work or at home or in the neighborhood, and you're just ready to let it happen, go back and surrender those words again. You need to do it in the morning, you need to do it at nighttime, and you need to do it moment by moment. Every single opportunity, you need to say, Lord, here are my words. Maybe you need to pray Psalm 19 that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer. Maybe what you need to do is just moment by moment say, Lord, here's the words. When you're on Wilma Rudolph and you're ready to cuss somebody out, you just need to say, Lord, here's my words. You surrender those over and over and over and over again. It's moment by moment, opportunity after opportunity. You have to continually surrender those words to the Holy Spirit. But when a reckless word does come out, because it will, before you leave the parking lot, on Riverside Drive, at home, whatever, a reckless word will come out. You need to do two things. Surrender it back to the Lord. Get right with him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so you need to remind yourself that Jesus stood in your place on the cross, and he was condemned, not for his words, but for your words. And so there's grace for you there. But then too, you need to seek reconciliation as quickly as you can with others. In fact, Proverbs 6 says it this way. If you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So if you said something that hurt someone, a reckless word came out. Verse 3, it says, do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. What this verse is telling us is go make things right quickly. Don't just sit around and go, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord's timing. Well, we'll just wait till the right time to make things right. No, go do it quickly. I don't know if you ever watched Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, but if you watch those and you see a gazelle get trapped, once it's free, it's not like it goes, well, let me hang out and eat some more grass, you know? It's not like he goes, bum, 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 when he's free, you know? It's none of that stuff. What does he do? He runs quickly. He gets out of there. When we hurt someone with our words, maybe because of what we said or how we said it or the timing was off in some way, make it right. Make it right with God and then make it right with others. May our words be life-giving. May we learn from Proverbs when we speak, how we speak, and the timing of our words. And may our words bring life to those around us.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Awaken Church. We'd love to hear how this message or the ministry of Awaken has impacted your life. Let us know at awaken.church/my story.